will be Revelations chapter 2, verse 24 through 26. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. To give to him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations.
It's good to see you this morning. We want you to open your Bibles, please, the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. So much of the book of Genesis is about Abraham, the great man of faith, God's friend, the man that God talked to and was his shield and his took care of him. Everybody in the world knows about Abraham. All the Jews know about him. All the Christians know about him. All the Muslims know about him. Everybody knows about him. He was such a great, great man. On every list in the Bible that has the lineup of faithful people, we start with Abraham. He's the one that listened to God and obeyed him, believed God even when everything was stacked against him. Nobody was like Abraham. His enemies feared him. Other people wanted to make allegiances with him because they knew that God was with him. Abraham had a son whose name was Isaac. And Isaac was the son of promise, the one that was going to bring the promises of God to fruition, the great promises, the great land, the great people, and the great blessing for all of mankind were going to come through Isaac. So if you're reading your Bible for the first time and you get to Isaac, you are full of anticipation. His name even meant laughter, so he brought a lot of joy to his dad. But when we read the chapters, the couple of chapters that deal with Isaac, we're less than impressed. We kind of want to go back and reread about Abraham. Or maybe we would like to go ahead a few generations. But Isaac was a vanilla kind of a fella. And when we look at this story, the one we're going to look at today is found, and we start with verse, I guess we'll start with about verse 12. Let's start with verse 12 of chapter 25. And Isaac sowed the land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and gained much more and more until he became very wealthy. He had possessions of flocks and herds and great household, so that the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped and filled with earth all of the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." So Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which had been dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he gave them names which his father had given to them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley, they found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, which because they contended with him. And then they dug another well, and they quarreled over it. And so they called the name of it Sitnah, which he moved from there and dug another well, and over that they did not quarrel. So he named that Reboth. And from this day on, they shall make room for us. The land will be fruitful. Now that's the most exciting thing you read about in his life. I would say the day that he went up on the mountain with his dad to be sacrificed was probably more exciting for him. But on his own activities, we see him imitate the sins of his father, and we see him We don't see him leading any big armies, even though God was richly blessing him the same way he was blessing his father. And when he planted something, it grew. When he looked for water, he found it. And he became so, had so many blessings that even his enemies envied him. And yet we don't see him as the man that we wished he was. We wished he had been a better man. We wished he'd have been more aggressive. And we wished he'd had more written about him. It's not that much. Even in his old age, we're a little disappointed at him with that, the way he blessed his sons and some of the other things that he did. But what I want us to notice here is the one thing that he tells about us seems to be kind of a boring story. He dug wells, he redug wells that had been dug, and then he redug them again as he just kept on digging wells and getting richer. Now, this is not Egypt that he is in. He is in the land of the Philistines. There's a drought going on. We saw back here in verse 26, verse 1. We see God even repeats the covenant with him so that he knows that he's a part of the covenant of God in verse 3. In verse 4, we see the blessings that come upon him because of the nation that's going to be. So he's going to have the land, the blessing, and the nation, all those things that were promised to his father. He's even told in verse 5 that because Abraham obeyed, you will be blessed. We see him, though, in verse 6 through 11 as he makes the same kind of sin that his dad made by calling his wife his sister. But we see God still blessing him in verse 12, where we started our reading. We see that he's rich because he's blessed by God. He has flocks and herds and a lot of servants. The Philistines envied him and told him to leave. We see that all the wells that Abraham had dug, they stopped up, refilled, and Isaac redigs those wells. These digs, their wells had been dug by his father, and now he has to redig them again. We see the Philistines argue with him. They're not just envious of him, but they oppose him, and they're arguing over water rights. We see another and another, the same kind of thing happens over and over again. And yet in verse 24, we see the covenant is repeated. And then we see in verse 28, the Philistines that told him to leave now ask him, will you stay with us? Because we know that you're blessed by God. And we see the servants come in and report this new well that they found was a flowing well that was full of water. Well, what possible reason would God write all of that down? We know Isaac didn't need it because it was Isaac lived it. It seems to be kind of like reading the legal notices or something of this sort. But I want us to notice why I think this part of Scripture was written and why it's important to us today. One is that we see that Isaac was like us in this regard. He lived by promise. He had a promise from God. It was the same promise that God had made to his father and would make later to his son. This promise was that if he followed him faithfully, if he lived with him and obeyed his commandments, if he was a person of faith, that God would bless him with this great covenant. The covenant was that he would have a great family. It would become a nation. The promise was that he would have all this land that he walked around on and was digging wells on would belong to his descendants. And also this great blessing for all the world would be available to him. We also know that not only was he a person of promise, which is like us, he was also a person with opposition. The Philistines hated him. They saw him as an interloper that came into their country. The Philistines did not bow to God. They were people who belonged to the world. They were pagans, and they belonged to the world, and they envied him, and they filled up the wells. No one filled the wells up while Abraham was alive because he was such a dynamic character, and everyone knew how close he was with God. It's obvious that from the outsider's viewpoint, Isaac was not that noticeable. And it seemed like it was easy to go ahead and do this at this time. Another thing we need to notice is he needed those wells. Think about wells, not just the water that you got to have to live, but think about them as a certain things. There are things you have to have to even survive spiritually. These wells, they had to have them, and yet they're all stopped up. A land that would make it possible for him to have these great herds, have this big family, actually even to live, is there. In the Old Testament, we see examples where God's people are chided because they gave up wells for cisterns. Cisterns have water in it too, but it's not the same. It's not as reliable. It's not as good. It's not as healthy. And he says that it would be a bad idea to make such a trade. And here he is with his wells being stopped up, our actual physical opposition to what he's doing. So why is this story told? Well, we see him redigging those wells. We see him redigging it, and you know it's never easy to dig. If you have a job digging, you have a hard job. No one says, oh boy, I get to dig a hole today. Something as deep as a well is even more difficult, and no one ever wants to have to dig it again. And yet, that is the job that's been handed to him. He redigs the wells. It's never easy. Verse 20 would tell us that. Because while he's digging, he's also arguing with the people who've put the dirt in the well to start with and now want to claim the water that he gets out of that well. We see the argument finally stops when he moves around as much as he does. And then we see in verse 23 and 24 that God appears to him. And in verse 26, even the Philistines notice. The reason this story is told, I believe, and what we can get from it, is that we are a part of the covenant people of God. We are the new Israel. We belong to God because he has given us a promise, and we believe the promise and obey the commandments. We also need to know that you will, have enemies. Satan is just not a enemy. He is your enemy. He is not just opposed in general to things that Christians do. He's opposed to you. He wants you to fail. He wants you to die of thirst. He wants your family to break up. He wants this church to end. And he's going to encourage as many people that work for him as possible to do that. Isaac could have complained. He could have wished for the old days. He could have thought about all the other things. Instead, bless his heart, I don't even particularly like him, but bless his heart, he dug the wells back out. He had a job as those people in Thyatira that were overwhelmed by the work of Satan, and the few people that were left in that congregation that were faithful, Jesus writes to them and says, I'm not going to lay anything else on you. Hold on to what you've got. This is your job. Sometimes our job is to march out in great array. Sometimes our job is to make new territory. And sometimes our job is to hang on to what we have. And that is what he's calling on them to do. And that's what we see Isaac doing here. There would be no Jacob if Isaac doesn't clean out the wells. There will be no Israel if Isaac doesn't clean out the wells. There'll be no land to inherit if Isaac doesn't clean out the wells. Isaac must be faithful. So what does he do? He plants, he harvests, and he digs out the wells. These wells are like the blessings that we must have to live. You cannot survive as a Christian without some things. Jesus told us that if we obey him, it's like springs of water will well up in us. And he's using water because it's so necessary for our life to describe what could be also necessary for our spiritual life. These are absolutes that we must have. You cannot survive as a Christian if you don't pray. You cannot survive as a Christian if you don't continually go to the Word of God. You cannot survive as a Christian if you don't obey the commandments that God has given you. You will not survive. It will not happen. You will fail at this. You will die like a guy sitting on the top of a well that's full of dirt and dies of thirst, knowing there's water 30 feet down there, and he has to do something about it. The Bible tells us our enemy, Jesus tells us our enemy in John chapter 10, comes to steal and kill and destroy. Just like the Philistines that were throwing rocks and dirt down in the well until it was a pile of rocks on the top of the ground, marking where there used to be a well, Satan wants to do that with you. You can try to live without water, or you can redig the well. The church can complain about what it used to be when we had a lot of respect and when we had a lot of people lining up to be our friends. We can remember those days when there was a church on every corner. We can remember those days when you couldn't find a town that didn't have a church. When you were on vacation, you didn't even have to wonder. You just knew, I'll drive around a little bit and I'll find it. There will be a church on the corner there. Those days are not here anymore. There's Philistines stopping up our wells. There's enemies that are trying to keep us from being who we ought to be. Now, we can complain about it. We can wish it was different. We can run and hide, or we can go to digging. The church needs to be digging. We need to dig about our spirituality. We need to make sure that when we come to worship, we come bringing our shovel with us so that we can dig down and not have that dry heart that sometimes we sing about, that thing that actually makes it impossible for us to get through because we haven't done it. There's certain things that we have to do. Maybe your marriage is dried up. One time Ezekiel was taken by God. He didn't know if he really went to a valley or if it was a vision, but all he knows is he finds himself in a valley full of bones. He said they were dry bones. And God asked him, can these bones live? Ezekiel told God, that is your business. Only God can give the water, but we have to do the digging. And that's what we see him telling those people. He tells Ezekiel, he tells him what to do. He told him to preach. He told him to go through those mundane, ordinary things that we can do. He didn't tell him to build a fire and water would come up out of it. He told him what he wanted him to do is preach to the bones. And he does, and God gave him life. Isaac, bless his heart, Isaac, the fellow that lies to Abimelech, the fellow that allows himself to be lied to by his sons, and even when he's trying to give out a blessing, they're not the kind of blessings you'd like to get. Isaac, who probably wasn't the best father that ever came along, he did have one quality that kept it all together. He knew how to dig, and he did. And he and his servants kept digging out those wells that the Philistines kept stopping up. Maybe your heart is also dry. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been around the water of life. And so what we can do, we can sit on the ground with cracked lips and we can pretend that we're just going through the motion. Maybe you are. Or we can dig. There's nothing that takes the place of this. It is work to be a Christian. It's also kind of dangerous to be a Christian. And we see Isaac, bless his heart, Isaac. You know, out in West Texas, if you say bless his heart, you can say bad things about somebody after you've said that. Well, bless his heart, Isaac was not the guy we wished he was. I'm not the guy I wished I was, but I can do some things. And what he is calling on Isaac to do and what Isaac does and why God, the Holy Spirit, wrote this down for us. And he said, well, here's one thing he did do. When Jacob came along, the wells were there and nobody's arguing over them anymore. He just kept on doing what he's supposed to do. Maybe this morning you wondered why you even got up. Maybe this week you wondered why I'm still going through the motion. Maybe when you look at your husband or your wife, you wonder, why are we still together? Maybe when you think about your own prayers and they seem so dry and it seemed like it's been a long time since you've had any water in your heart and your heart's all dried up, maybe you wonder, why do I even do it? Well, take heart. Take heart. Start digging. Do the things that you know that you can do. Isaac, for what you've got to say about him, he knew how to plant crops, and he did, and God gave him the increase, and he knew how to dig wells. Maybe he was on some of those crews when his father sent him out to dig those wells to start with. Maybe he knew where all of them were. He certainly knew all the names of them because he had seen this firsthand. And maybe he knew one thing that we should know, that we cannot survive without the wells. If your well is dry, start digging. This means it takes work, and there's no work quite like digging a hole. Spiritually, there's no easy path to it. You cannot be spiritual without digging. You cannot be brave and courageous and faithful without digging. You cannot have a good wife and a good husband. You can't have a good marriage without digging. This church will not survive if we don't continually go back over and see what needs to be cleaned out, what needs to be redug, what needs to be remade. If you want to have this, if you want to have a life that's not all dried up and dead, you've got to get the tools out and go back to work and back to digging. There's nothing harder than digging. There's nothing more discouraging than digging. My father-in-law, he liked to have all the fence posts really deep. It didn't matter how deep you dug it. He wanted it a little bit deeper. I can only think of one thing that would be harder and more discouraging than digging a well. It's redigging the well. But if there's ever a time when it's more important, that's it. Because you know there's water down there. You know what you're going to face, and you know what you're going to get through it. One shovel at a time, one bucket at a time, one effort at a time. Especially in the same hole all over again. So, to redig is really hard. Our Father has given us a place. He's given us a place. We have a place in time. It's now. We have memories and heritage that's been given to us before. But we have a place in time, and we also have a place geographically. This is where we are. And we have a place with Him spiritually. And our enemy wants us out of this place. The clock is ticking. Time and circumstances will change a lot of things. And our enemy is always throwing dirt in our wells to keep us from being successful. So what do we do? Well, we dig. There's some things we need to dig up and cart off. There's some things we need to dig up so that we can get to the life of the water. And one thing we don't do is we don't let the enemy have any say about it. We just keep digging. I'm sure that there's some of us here that have a hole that's half done or filled up that needs to be dug. Why don't you think about that? Well, we invite you to come to Jesus as we stand and sing.